Audio, and that is working. And the only thing left to do is put up the study, and we shall figure out. Here it is. And there it is. And I thank God we could be here today again on the Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom. Very good. Shabbat Shalom. Happy to be here today on the Sabbath. It's another beautiful day here. We're One Messiah Congregation, Kahal Chad BeMashiach. We're just a little piece of the Israel of God, and it is the Sabbath again. And we're going to ask God to bless and anoint today's study. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, we thank and praise you for another Sabbath day. I pray that you'll put a wall of fire around and about us, caution us from any evil. Help us physically and spiritually today, Lord and God. We always ask you to cover us in your holy blood. Heavenly Father, we don't sin presumptuously or willingly. We thank you, Lord and God, for forgiveness of sins, knowing that you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank and praise you, Lord and God, for another Sabbath. Bless the study today. Bless the conversations. Bless the reading of your word. Bless the singing, the food, everything we do today. Let it be to the glory of God, to the edifying of the body, spiritually and physically. Help us, Lord and God, figure out where there's brothers and sisters, real true believers, Lord and God. We know there must be some around somewhere. We don't think we're the only ones left. We know you have reserved people all around the planet. We just need to find them. Bless today. Let it be prosperous spiritually and physically. Help us, Lord and God, in everything we do, Lord and God. Give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment, and the fear of God. Make us smarter and sharper in thy word and in activities, Lord and God. Give us the mind of Messiah. And we thank you for another Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Amen. Amen. Well, it's very nice to be here today. Today we're using the we're still using the Gregorian calendar. You guys are all familiar with that. It's August 23rd. It's only a week left to this month. It'll be September before we know it. And it's 2014. And of course, you know, I'm sure you know where August comes from by now. Augustus Caesar, right? You guys know that. Anyway, moving right along. It's the 26th day of the fifth month. And you guys know by now, Judaism calls this month Av, and some Messianics. And we all know that comes from the Talmud, and it's Babylonian in origin. We should all know that by now, Av. My ministry is a teaching ministry, to bring up things in the Bible and topics maybe that are not familiar to you, and to undelete some subjects. This isn't the typical ministry where I just get up and give pep talks or motivational speaking, which some people, that's what they want, and they want to hear how great they are and how much God needs them. But I'm more, maybe we need to find out who God is and what's required from us. What does God require from us? And that's what my ministry is about, what some people take it wrong sometimes. Anyway, for your convenience, if you missed me in the last 13 years or whatever it's been, 12, 13, whatever. I lost track. I lose track of time. You could, right now, you could read all my studies. You could listen to them, or you could watch them. You could download them. You could join us today, of course, on Pow Talk. We're also streaming live at this link right here. That you put right in your Real Player, and then you could see me live. Of course, I'd always like to come to your congregational group of people. I'm starting to wonder if there is such a thing anymore, a group of people. You know, the more I think about it, all the places I went in the past, I wonder all the different churches and groups, I wonder if they just wanted to see the Jew that believes in Jesus, you know, and that's all it was. But they weren't really going to apply any of the teachings to their own lives, you know. It wasn't applicable for them. It's let's just see what, you know, the Jews, we love Israel. And sometimes I wonder all about those kind of things. But anyway, just to let you guys know, the new moon is coming. There's something called the new moon. It's Rosh Chodesh. We believe it's going to be Wednesday evening, the 27th. And it's going to start the sixth month of God called Elul. And so we are now reaching months again of God that have names. Because the fifth month and the fourth month had no name. But this month is called Elul. And to verify that, all you have to do is go to these two verses, Nehemiah 6:15 and Nehemiah 7:73. And you could, I guess you can come up with the same conclusion we could, because it's very simple to put it together. And in Hebrew, the word is Elul, Elul. That's how you say it. There it is in Hebrew. Anyway, so the new moon is going to be Wednesday evening. And we'll talk about what we could do or how we're going to do it and what we're going to do. And again, for your benefit, I'm like to go over the holy days and feast that's coming up. Got one feast that's coming and holy days. And these are the dates that we come up with for, you figure Wednesday night starts the sixth month. So we only got 1 month later where it's going to be the seventh month of God. So time is going fast. And these are the dates right here. We have three times this year, and every year, we'll have two Sabbaths in a row. Seems like almost every year. And these are the dates, and they're on my website. You could look at them, or write them down, or copy and paste them to your notepad or your whatever you got, your office, you know, programs. But you can copy and paste that, or just write them down with a pencil if you want. That's them right there. So the fall holy days and feasts are coming again, and I'm always amazed that God separates false brothers and sisters from amongst us, lest our holy days and feasts are polluted with sin, you know? I always know that happens almost every year. Things are manifest. You know, I'm always amazed, and amazingly, some people left since I gave these last nine teachings after the spring feasts and holy days. You know, believe it or not, it was just like nine teachings ago. And it was the spring feast, you know, and here we are, you know, 1 month away from the fall feast. I don't know if you remember my study last week. It was, are you ready for the giants in your life? And then right before that, I did a study about the review of all the Sabbaths, and because there's seven Sabbaths in the Feast of God, and besides the weekly Sabbath. Before that, I did, these are the words, that's God's words, and that's what we should be following, not man's commentaries or opinions or, you know, essays, but God's word. I did a study on God loves you unconditionally, and the answer was no, once we looked at it, no way. And I did 2 weeks of that, because 1 week we had no videos. And then I did a state of mind in the God of Israel, and I wonder if some people didn't digest some of these studies. And then I did a study right before that, the unity of real brothers and sisters, how they should treat each other and how they should act and what they should say and what they should do, you know. And then, of course, I did the study, which I've done many times over the years, are you converted? Are you really born again? What does that really mean? And it was right after that one we did on 6/14, 2014, it was onward in God after the Feast of Weeks. Believe it or not, all the time is just, think of how many weeks, that's 9 weeks have passed. That's over 2 months. Isn't that amazing? And with all these studies right here, I don't think people, you know what I think? I think I give these studies on the Sabbath, and I don't think anyone reviews them after that. Because if you don't, you're only tricking yourself. These studies all have a theme to them, and if you don't follow the theme, you're missing out on what I'm trying to say to you and what maybe what's happening in the Word here. But that's why I keep telling everybody my server is still running, thank God, and all these things are available in video form, audio form, text form. You don't have to stare at the screen. You could just click on the audio and sit back and sip your whatever you're drinking. I mean, you know. But some people, I think, they don't take all these to heart, because I can look at a message here like, what did you do after the Feast of Weeks? I mean, were you really born again? Were you really converted? And do you really know how to treat your brothers and sisters? What is your state of mind in the God of Israel? And did you know there are conditions to God? And also, did you listen to God's words? And do you know about all these Sabbaths and feasts of God? And are you ready for all the obstacles, the angry waves of life that may beat upon you in this world? You know, the giants, physically and spiritually. So there's a theme to this whole thing when I do studies. It's not just, I look back at my studies and I find the theme myself. And I'm probably doing it unconsciously, but when I look at it, I think, wow, there's a whole little story right there. So maybe if you just read the titles and pondered them, wow, what state of mind am I in? Or are we in the mind of Messiah? Or are we all of one mind? You can't really be together if everyone's thinking something different, right? Anyway, all I can say is we continue onward unto the end. We are nothing. We're relentless, you know. And we are going to go forward with everything in God, no matter what comes or goes or who comes or goes. So having reviewed the feast coming and the new moon coming, and of course I gave you God's calendar and went over Gregorian calendar, brings us to today's topic. And it's, don't be carried away with dissimulation, which is heresy, which is a salvation issue. So the first thing you might ask, what does dissimulation mean, right? So if we parse that word down to maybe its root, dissimulate means to disguise or conceal under false appearance. Dissemble, feigning, which means ungenuine. Hypocrisy, to conceal one's true motives, thoughts, etc., by some pretense. And you might be speaking or your act hypocritically. Obviously, you're preaching heresy, you know, or you're thinking heresy, or, but that's what the word dissimulate means. And I don't know if you've seen the word dissimulation in the letters. I'm sure you have, but I'll show it to you. So I want you to understand also, I'm going to talk a little bit about understand what complacent means. And complacent is not complacent. Now, catch what I'm saying. They may be pronounced the same. However, definitions are different. See the way they're spelled? I'm discussing today complacent, which is pleased, especially with oneself or one's merits, advantages, situation, self-satisfied. And the only downside is often without awareness of some potential danger or defect. That's when you become complacent in something. I'm not talking about complacent, which is inclined or disposed to please, obligating or agreeable or gracious, compliant. See the way those two words, they both sound the same, but they have totally different meaning because there's no downside to the other word. You know what I mean? This one has, some people are unawares of some potential danger or defect in their own way of thinking or their own way of looking at a situation or their own way of sizing up a situation. And it's a scary thought, you know? So these two words, dissimulation and complacent, are to be thought about while I'm talking about this whole study today. It's just it's not going to be a very long study, but it's something to think about. So this whole thing about, and which when you dissimulate or you're complacent, you are susceptible of being carried away. And now obviously today it's by Satan. But in the past, remember, the physical always tells you the story about the spiritual. So we're going to read some physical carrying aways, okay? 2 Kings 17, if you have your Bible, or you can just read along with me. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And this guy, of course, did evil in the sight of Jehovah. Imagine that's your testimony forever. People are going to read that for, you know, in the annals of time, as long as we go on, that this person did evil in the sight of Jehovah, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant. Could you believe that? And gave him presents. I mean, this guy was supposed to, how could that be? And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea. For he had sent messengers to So, who's another king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. That's pretty weird, because this guy should have relied on God instead of another fake king. Excuse me. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. These are things we're sort of uncommon with in our life, because God, we thank God this hasn't happened to us. We don't know what being besieged means by another force out there at the moment. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria. So we see Assyria is the place where Israel was carried, and they went first. Remember, the kingdom was divided. This is the kingdom of Jacob, known as the kingdom of Israel. It would split into a place called Israel and Judah. So we see Israel is carried into Samaria. Now you might say, well, why? And placed then in Hela and in Harba by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. Well, you might say, well, why did that happen? Well, it says, for it was so that the children of Israel had sinned against Jehovah their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. They became complacent. They dissimulated and walked in the statutes of the heathens, whom Jehovah cast out from before the children of Israel and of all the kings of Israel, which they had made. Isn't that amazing? And the children, check this out, and the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against Jehovah their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced cities. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. Now you might say, well, we don't ever do things like that, but spiritually you might be setting up things in your heart and in the imaginations of your mind. And that talks about that in the Bible, actually, too. I should have put those verses. And there they burn incense in all the high places, as did the heathen, whom Jehovah carried away before them, and they wrought wicked things to provoke Jehovah to anger. And they served idols. Could you imagine that? They actually served idols. Whereof Jehovah had said unto them, you shall not do this thing. So we see that God here has them carried away because of their sins, because of what they did. And then we see all of a sudden God again pleads with them right in the middle of the whole thing. Here's God's mercy and long-suffering right here, in case you never noticed it. And Jehovah testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets. He testified against them by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the Torah which I commanded your fathers, which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. So, and this happened for a long time. God's pleading with them, long-suffering. Again, not willing that any would perish, but they would just turn from their sins. But what did they do? Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but they hardened their necks, like to the neck of their fathers, and did not believe in Jehovah their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant which he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them, and they followed vanity. And they became vain. And they went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom Jehovah had charged them that they should not do like them. So here we have, it's always because of the people. It's always because of they fall for Satan. Like how many times have you heard messages I said, Satan can set up a whole thing in your mind, a whole imagination, where you start imagining a whole situation or a whole thing against a certain people. And Satan could just cause you to imagine you right out of your salvation. Yeah. Look what it says right here. These people were such, they dissimulated so much and so complacent that they left all the commandments of Jehovah their God and made them molten images. You have to be totally out of it to do that. Even two calves and made a grove and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal.
Yeah.
Well, you might say, well, I'm not doing anything like that. Well, you might be in a spiritual way, you know, especially if you become complacent and you start dissimulating and you start taking on heresies and false doctrine. Little by little, you'll have more and more false doctrines. And you don't even recognize it all also because you're called deceived. And Satan clouds your mind and he makes you believe a lie. I mean, if you believe a lie, you're lost, right? And they look at this. These people were so out of it, they actually caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. You have to really be deceived to do that. You just don't do that. But just think how deceived they were. Yeah, and try to, like I always say, Selah. Think that over for a moment. How tricked and deceived do you have to be where you have your sons and your daughters to pass through the fire and you start using divination and enchantments and they sold themselves to do evil in the sight of Jehovah, to provoke him to anger. I mean, this is more than presumptuous sin. This is totally willingly, you know, with no stopping them. Now, you might say, well, do we do that today? Well, there's some people that do. I mean, just think. Here we are, people that are just serving the God of Israel. We don't do anything to anyone. We don't wish anyone any evil. God does what he wants to people. I mean, you know, I know that God does recompense tribulation to those that trouble us. I know that. And I know God can cut things short, you know. He could put the brakes on a whole situation that you might think is going to go on and on and on. God could say, that's enough, and it's over. And, you know, some people, they keep coming, I don't know, they enjoy bringing accusations against us. And when we're not even paying them any mind, or we're not wishing them any evil, or even troubling them. We're just going about our business, living our lives that God gave us, and people have... Satan puts an illusion in their mind against us, and it's when we hear about it, we get alarmed and shocked because we know that Satan can do these things. But people, you have to allow Satan to do that. You have to allow yourself to be carried away. Therefore, Jehovah was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left of the tribe of Judah, of Judah only. But listen to this. Then Judah kept not the commandments of Jehovah their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel. I mean, they just watched. Judah should have took heed, good word, that Israel was just taken captive because of their sins by the king of Assyria. And Judah don't care. They do the same things. So we see Israel and Judah, which is Jehovah rejected all the seed of Jacob. See that right there? Which is Israel. And he afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of spoils until he had cast them out of his sight. And he rent Israel from the house of David. And they made Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, king. And Jeroboam drave Israel from following Jehovah and made them sin a great sin. Wow. So, you see... God is sort of still in charge, you know. And the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did, and they departed not from them until Jehovah removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their land, their own land, to Assyria unto this day. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon. This is how they mock you after they take you away. The king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Kulath and from Ava and from Hamath and from Shepharvaim, and he took these men from all these places and he placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. So instead of the people of God taking over the heathen's land, the heathen just took over their land and placed their own people in it and kicked you guys all out. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not Jehovah. Therefore, Jehovah sent lions among them and slew some of them. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So today, you know, you might say, well, there's not too many lions attacking us, but remember, Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Therefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. That's how pagan they were. They thought he was just the God of the land. Therefore he had sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria, who's pagan, he didn't know what to do, so he commanded, saying, we carry these guys captive. Go carry one of the priests whom you brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there. Let them teach them the manner of the God of the land. And the priest, who's so out of it, probably, then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear Jehovah. But check this out. Howbeit every nation made gods of their own. And they put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans have made, every nation in their cities therein, wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Hivites made Nisbah and Toktok, and the Sepharvites burnt their children to, wow, they burnt their children in fire to Adrammelech and Anamelech, the gods of the Sepharvaim. So they just made up these gods and made up these names and made up everything. Now check this out. And they feared Jehovah and made unto themselves the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. So they took what this priest was telling them, and they just blended it into their own paganness. And the priest was crazy to try to teach a bunch of devils this. Yeah. He was carried away too, actually. And they feared Jehovah and served their own gods, after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. So they tried to make believe they were fearing God, because he, you know, the God of the land, so they don't get no more lions, but then they went and served their own gods. Unto this day, here's the real truth, unto this day they did after the former manners. They feared not Jehovah for real, neither do they after their statutes, nor after their ordinances, nor after the law and commandments which Jehovah commanded the children of Jacob, whom he had named Israel. And then, of course, believe it or not, I mean, you probably wouldn't do this. I probably wouldn't do it. But here comes God's mercy again and long-suffering. See how God is different than us? I would just say, forget those guys. Yeah. With whom Jehovah had made a, God is concerned about the people he made a covenant with, and charged them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. Only Jehovah, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and stretched out arm, him shall you fear, him shall you worship, and to him shall you do sacrifice. A little bit of mercy there. He's telling them again. Here's some more. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandments which he wrote for you, God wrote them for you, you shall observe to do forevermore, and you shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I made with you, and it says, made with you, you shall not forget, neither shall you fear other gods. How many times does he have to say that? But Jehovah your God you shall fear, And if you do, he will deliver you out of the hand of your enemies. Amen. Yes, we had a sister recently that got delivered out of the hand of an enemy. Yes, because we fear God and keep his commandments. Amen. And God watches this too. So God has his long-suffering and his mercy, but here's the people again. Howbeit, after he tells them the whole thing again, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So the nations, in their own little insanity, they think they're fearing Jehovah, and they serve their graven images, both their children, and because they're so wicked, they taught their children, and then their children's children, as did their father, so do they unto this day. A whole procession of sin because of someone didn't make a stand. So that's what happens to Israel, right? And now, that's what happens when you become complacent and you take on dissimulation. Anyway, here's 2 Kings 24. So Judah thought they were escaping, but no. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant. What do you think of that? That's the end of Jehoiakim. 3 years, and he turned and rebelled against him. Now check this out. If you don't think it's really God, you think it's Nebuchadnezzar, Jehovah sent against him bands of the Chaldees, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of Jehovah, which he spake by his servants the prophets. So this thing, if you are wicked, and you think you're going to get away with something, you're sneaking around talking about people, God could send enemies to you, and afflictions, spiritually, physically. He might send you a plague. He might make your life even harder if you think it's hard already. But just think, we fear God and keep his commandments and he blesses us. Yay. I don't see what's so hard about that. God says with his mercy and his long-suffering, keep my commandments, keep my ordinances, keep my statutes. We go, yes, Father. And then he blesses us. We don't go, no, I want to do it my way. I got my own doctrine, got my own beliefs. You have to be spiritually psychotic or spiritually, you need spiritual medication, which only is the word, really, but you don't look for that. You start seeking other people that have the same traits as you. And, you know, you think they're all going to huddle up and have a pity party and cry up on each other's shoulder. Well, you better think again. Surely, at the now listen to this again. If you don't think it's God, this is the God we believe in. Surely, at the commandment of Jehovah came this upon Judah. So don't think it came by anybody else. God sent them tribulations. This is his own people too. So what do you think he's going to do to a bunch of Gentiles? I mean, these were his own chosen people. He sent tribulations, anguish, distress, perplexity, you know, just, you know, when you think you can't take it, then he sends more to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with the innocent blood, which Jehovah would not pardon. Wow. You hear that? That's Jehovah would not pardon. That is the most scariest words you could ever hear. Verse 4. May that never happen to us. May we always have a tender heart, a repentant heart, a contrite heart. And we always ask God to please forgive us for everything, anything. You know, just we surrender. You know? So, now the rest of the acts, the evil acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigns in his stead. And did he learn anything? And the king of Egypt came not again anymore out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt unto the river Euphrates all that pertains to the king of Egypt. So that king of Egypt was shut Just shut up and stay over there, because God sent Nebuchadnezzar. See, God could send a big force. And Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months, and his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he didn't learn about his father, but he did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, according to all that his father had done. Can you believe that? And they should have known God sent all these armies against them, Judah and Israel. But like father and like son in this situation, unfortunately, at that time the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged, period. They had no hope. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and the servants did besiege it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers. What do you think? What? To do what? And the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. What is that going to do when God sends someone to get you? And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of Jehovah and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of Jehovah, as Jehovah had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? And all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths, none remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And this guy who thought he was big time, he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, whether he liked it or not. And the king's mother went with him, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land. Those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. Because when God sends someone to get you, nothing's stopping it. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths 1,000, all that were strong and apt to war, meant nothing. Because even them did the king of Babylon bring captive to Babylon. So no matter who they thought they were or had, you lose. And the king of Babylon did the same thing. He's mocking them now. He made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. So he got rid of Jehoiachin and all these guys. He said, forget that. I'll just get my father's brother's son. No, his father's brother's, Mattaniah, his father's brother, he made him king in his stead. And he just changed his name to Zedekiah. He's mocking them. He's making a joke out of everything. And Zedekiah is 21 years old when he began to reign. He reigns 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And of course, obviously, he did evil in the sight of Jehovah, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of Jehovah, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. The anger of Jehovah. So, we see already, when you don't follow the commandments of God and his statutes, his ordinances, and the people of God that are following the statutes and ordinances that fear God, and you are going to lose. You lose. And you never know what's going to happen to you. 2 Kings 25, and the king of Babylon smote them. That's what he thought about them. And he slew them in Riblah and in the land of Hamath. So Judah was carried away out of their land. So they all, isn't that amazing? It's just incredible, don't you think? So carrying away takes place after you become complacent, and you dissemble, and you start taking on false doctrines, and you start falling for different things, and you forsake the people of God, and you forsake God, and you start following vanity, and you listen to delusions in your mind and amazing accusations when other people are just not even thinking evil about you. They're just living their life serving God, and you're just going, and you're just in a whole spiritual mess in your mind. And this is even recorded in the Gospels, of course. Many, many years later, Josias begot Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. That's history now. And even Apostle Paul brings it up. He says, you know that you Gentiles, that you were Gentiles carried away with those dumb idols, even as you were led. That's the way Paul talks. But boy, Paul talked like, if I said that today, I'd be getting all kinds of emails of how mean and cruel I was. He says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away with those dumb idols as you were led. So dissimulation even happened to people of God, believe it or not. When Peter was come to Antioch, Paul withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Because that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, Peter withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing them that were of the Jews, the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise, because they were just, what's going on with him, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. In other words, Peter got tricked there for a little while, and he fell for a fear of the Jews, but he snapped out of it quick, of course. Satan always wants to carry you away. Remember, there was war in heaven. Try to always remember that. If Satan can actually trick a group of angels that are spiritual beings, way more powerful than any one of us, right before the throne of God, what do you think he could do to a bunch of people down here in the flesh? Look what it says in the Revelation. The serpent, which is the devil, the old serpent, cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, which is like Israel, that she might cause her to be carried. He wanted to carry away of the flood. The same thing as these other kings. They want to carry you away. Away from God, that is. But the earth helped the woman and carried, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And of course, the dragon's very wroth with the woman, which is Israel. And he want to make war with the remnant of her seed, the ones that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah. So that's us. We're at war. So remember, dissimulate or dissimulation can be false doctrine, which is heresy, a salvation issue. Some people still don't know that heresy is a salvation issue. Heresy is called a lie. How many liars are going to heaven? So if you have heresy and you're preaching heresy, what is that? A lie. And you're causing dissimulation because I'm causing you to believe something else and follow me, and we all get tricked. Remember, to dissimulate means to disguise or conceal under false pretense, dissemble, ungenuine, that means feigning, hypocrisy, to conceal one's true motives or thoughts by some pretense, to speak, or nowadays to teach, and act hypocritically. So we see these words are really important if you stop and think about them. This morning I was trying to figure out what to study or what to give a message on, so I opened my Bible and I was looking through it, and all I could see is they were carried, I don't know why, it just came to my mind, they were carried away. They were brought away from God. Why? Because of their sins. They turned their back. They pushed away their shoulder. You know, they turned their head away. In the Gospel of Luke, it says, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, the Messiah actually says, he began to say unto the disciples, first of all, my flock, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. In other words, their doctrine. Beware, they'll trick you into a false doctrine with their sweetness and their kindness, and their gentle words, and it is so pleasant to be around. They never get angry. Well, Messiah is warning you about that. Peter says, there was false prophets also among the people. Don't be so shocked, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall bring in damnable dissimulation, heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And of course, just like in the kingdom of heaven, just like Dathan and Abiram, they always have their followers. Many are going to follow their pernicious, very hurtful ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So what do you think of that? Satan always has his followers. And Paul tells Timothy, if you could just listen, in the Spirit speaks expressly that even in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And you might say, well, wow, that's amazing. After all these testimonies in the Bible of things to do, not to do, people to follow, people not to follow, watch out for this, caution on that, be aware of this, all these. I look at the Bible as like, whoa, it's a book of information of how to make it to the kingdom of heaven. The Spirit says many are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they're severed off from the truth, and they're in a sea of lies. And they think that they're right, and oh me, and oh my, and Paul tells that, now if you don't think heresy is one of the things that's a salvation issue, I'll read it to you again. Heresy is a lie. Apostle Paul said this. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. That one gets me. That's like seditions against the people of God and the house of God and the regime of God, a temple of God. Heresies. You see that? Heresies, verse 20. Envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and the such like. Paul says, of which I told you before, and I told you guys before, but some people still don't get it. I have told you before in time past that they which do these such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why do you think we're always combing our doctrine and making sure we got it straight? You think I want to preach something that's false? God forbid, lest the next verse happen to us. You could be led away with the error of the wicked. Peter tells us, listen, beloved, wake up, everybody. Seeing you know these things before, beware. Caution, lest you also be led away with the error of the wicked. You're going to fall from your own steadfastness. Whoa. So you got to be careful what you think you're hearing. And make sure remember, I keep telling people, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Be cautious of what you think you're thinking. You might be not even thinking certain thoughts, and you might be convinced it's you. Because Satan can go right into your mind and put a whole imagination in there, a whole thought pattern, and a whole delusion. You might look at the whole situation wrong. Oh, but I'd rather that you grow in grace, and not only grace, I want you to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And I say Shabbat Shalom. I hope you got something out of this study. So, you know, as I can tell you, we have these people from the past in the Bible to take lessons from of things not to do. Don't act this way. Don't fall into dissimulation. Satan would love to bring you into his pool of dissimulating against people of God and dissimulation and being complacent. He could put you in a whole state of complacency, and you just think that everything is just right. You're just right, not being aware of the danger that's around the corner. So I hope you got something out of my study. I don't know how long it was today. Was it too long, too short? How long was my study? About an hour. So I hope somebody got something out of this study. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you again for your cautionings, your words in the Bible that lets us beware, Lord and God, when you think you stand, lest you fall. And let us be cautious of what we think we know and make sure we prove what we know and to really understand the Scriptures correctly. We thank and praise you, Lord and God, for another Sabbath day that we gather to with people that love you and keep your commandments. And we don't separate ourselves from brothers and sisters that fear God and keep his commandments. Heavenly Father, bless the rest of this Sabbath. Bless everything we do today. Let it be to the glory of the living God. And I thank you for putting a wall of fire around and about us. Thank you for cautioning us today. In Yeshua's name, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for your mercy and your long-suffering toward us. Amen. And on those that fall, they're going to end up with severity. And we don't take pleasure in people that leave the body of Messiah, but we pray also that they wake up and snap out of it and come back in Yeshua's name. Amen. Just like you. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. God bless you, and I'll stop the video at the moment. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And I'm going to stop the audio one more time.